Welcome back to the Psalms, everyone. Psalm 104 is a creation psalm full of awe and wonder at the mighty works of God. It's an awestruck walk through the creation story from a new perspective. And I relate to that. I've always had an appreciation for nature. It's amazing. In high school, I learned to appreciate the laws of nature, the beauty and simplicity of this simple set of rules and equations that explain all these wonders. Yet to my shame, I decided that those same equations explained away any need for Creator God. I recall that now, deeply humbled. How was I so blind? How did I not see? Now, when confronted with nature's wonder, the glory of God overwhelms me. I listened to David Attenborough describe a rarely seen pink flamingo dancing ritual, and God's glory just about knocks me over. Whether I'm watching a documentary or standing atop a great overlook, I always feel this desire to tell the whole world. Do you guys see this? This is glorious. I recall looking out my window on a transatlantic flight to see Greenland. It was spectacular beyond words, but no one else looked. And everything in me was shouting, "Hey, everyone, this is incredible. Our God did that." But they were sleepy or just watching a little screen. And sometimes I feel like we're all like that, missing it. Like the most spectacular overlook is just 20 yards from the road, but we just drive on by. Well, Psalm 104 pulls the car over to look. As you read this one, you have to see it. See the wonders and stand in awe. Verse 1. Praise the Lord, my soul. Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. We begin with praise. The soul lifts as the eyes open to take it all in. And the first wonder is God himself. Creation begins with God. Now, this is poetry, not a science journal. That doesn't mean it's unscientific. Some Christians enjoy finding elements like the stretching of the heavens that accurately describes what we now know. All the galaxies are stretching apart. But my recommendation is read with awe first and analysis second, especially when it's describing God. Verse 2. The Lord wraps himself in light as with a garment. He stretches out the heavens like a tent and lays the beams of his upper chambers on their waters. He makes the clouds his chariot and rides on the wings of the wind. He makes winds his messengers, flames of fire his servants. Just like Genesis, this look at creation begins with light. God dwells in unapproachable light. Then verse 5 brings us to the world's creation. He set the earth on its foundations. It can never be moved. You covered it with the watery depths as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. Picture it. God creates the whole earth. The foundations are fascinating. Inner core, outer core, mantle, crust. And then God covers the whole earth with watery depths. This isn't the flood story, it's creation, before the land appeared. Fascinating fact, scientists now believe there is more water in the earth's mantle than in all the oceans, and strong theories hold that that same water was once above the surface, a totally blue planet. Now pay attention to that water. We're going to follow it through the whole story. I do encourage you not to get lost in the Genesis debate between billions of years and 7 days. Some say they're literal days, others say 7 long eras, and others still say it's just poetry, not science. But there is no timeline that gets around the phenomenal wonder of God's work in creation. Verse 7. But at your rebuke, the waters fled. At the sound of your thunder, they took flight. He goes on to describe the waters flowing over the mountains and down into the places where God assigned for them, even setting boundaries that they cannot cross. It's poetic here, but I believe that God accomplished that with scientific laws and properties. Secular scientists take those properties for granted, as if they just are. Keep in mind, scientists have no explanation for why water is the way it is. Evolution attempts to explain living things based on those laws and properties, but offers no explanation of why or how they're given. And the properties of water are a wonder, getting it where it needs to be to make life possible. Cohesion, adhesion, the perfect thermal properties to create the incredible water cycle. Did you know that life on Earth would not exist but for the simple fact that frozen water floats? And don't get me started on snow. The complexity of design for two hydrogens and an oxygen to support life is amazing. In verse 10, He makes springs pour water into the ravines. It flows between the mountains. And in verse 11, that water comes to the beasts and wild donkeys to quench their thirst. And did you know that water is the only universal solvent, so that its journey through rock not only purifies the water, but adds necessary minerals for life? Yet water does not dissolve organic fats and oils, so the same water that dissolves minerals is totally harmless to the living things who drink it. Amazing. In verse 12, the waterways now provide nesting places for birds. And God sends rain upon the mountains to satisfy the lands with the fruit of His work. And in turn, that makes things grow. Now the focus turns to food, grass for cattle, plants to cultivate, food that grows right up out of the earth. Does that ever amaze you? Dirt turns into food, and we just add water. And in verse 15, it also produces wine that gladdens human hearts, oil to make their faces shine, and bread that sustains their hearts. God doesn't just give us the practicals. He pours out grace to give us the good things. In case you're wondering, the Bible is quite balanced regarding alcohol. There are clear and strong warnings about the dangers. Don't overdo it. Don't abuse it. But here, wine is a gift from God to gladden the heart. The waters continue their path in verse 16 as the Lord waters the trees and creates nesting for birds. And here, our tour moves to homes, mountain spaces for wild goats, and rocky crags for the hyrax. In verse 19, the sun goes down and the camera turns to the night sky and our incredible moon to mark the seasons. That giant rock that orbits our world to create ocean tides and currents so crucial to life. God made that. Verse 20. You bring darkness, it becomes night, and all the beasts of the forest prowl. Watch a documentary on night creatures and discover that even the darkness of night was designed to help creatures thrive. In verse 22, the sun comes up, the creatures hide, and people head out to work, all under God's amazing design. 24. How many are your works, Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. The camera turns now to the sea, vast and spacious, teeming with creatures. You think life on land is impressive? The sea has wonders beyond measure. Reminds me of a trip we took to Olympic National Park, where we camped along the beach. During the day, whales over 100,000 pounds came up for air. At night, we looked up to stars beyond counting and discovered under our feet the sand would light up in a rainbow flash with every footstep, bioluminescent phytoplankton. And somewhere nearby, cars whizzed past, oblivious to the magic all around us. In verse 27, He speaks of all creatures looking to God for food, and He satisfies them. But in 29, when you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. When you send your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. So God gives life, God takes away, and God renews again. And in 31, may the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in His works. And the psalmist closes with determination. I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Now that he's seen it, he'll never forget. He will rejoice in the Lord. But one last note in 35, but may sinners vanish from the earth, and the wicked be no more. Sinners who abuse the gift, they refuse to see, refuse to thank God, refuse to function in the flow of goodness God created. But their day will end. As for me, back in verse 35, praise the Lord, my soul. Praise the Lord.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.